The church throughout the world is celebrating the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time today. But in addition to that, in the United States, we celebrate the feast of one of our two new American saints, Saint Kateri Tekakwitha, who was canonized last October in Rome by Pope Benedict XVI. And this is the first feast of Saint Kateri that we are celebrating since she's been canonized. So that's why the Native American people are with us at our cathedral this evening. Most of you here know that I am also an American Indian, I'm Potawatomi, and I'm very, very happy to share that ancestry with these good people. I'd like to do a brief reflection about Saint Kateri before reflecting on today's scripture readings. She was born 9 years after the martyrdom of the two Jesuits, Saint Isaac Jogues and Saint John Brebeuf, which is very interesting that because the church has always said the blood of martyrs is the seed of the church, its new growth. So 9 years after the martyrdom by these two Jesuits, by American Indians, this young woman was born to an Iroquois family. Her mother was a Christian and her father was not, but she lost her parents and her younger brother when she was just 4 years old to smallpox, and she was afflicted by it herself. And from that time on, she was disfigured by the smallpox marks on her face, and also was half blinded. So it had a serious effect on her personal life. She was adopted by her uncle, who was the chief of the tribe, was not friendly towards Christianity. And because of that, she was hesitant to get baptized. She waited till she was 19 years old before she was baptized. She wouldn't work on Sundays, and because of that, her family wouldn't feed her on Sundays because they were trying to get her to give up her Christian practice, her Christian faith. She had the custom of meditating on the dignity of what it means to be a Christian, which gave her strength in the midst of her suffering. And I think that's a very important thing for us. When we are suffering, it would be important for us also to meditate on the dignity we have as children of God. And that's, no matter what else happens in our lives, to know that we are God's children gives us strength to endure whatever pain we might be experiencing. After her baptism, after staying around in her native place for a couple of years, she fled to a Christian village about 200 miles away and lived there among other Christian Iroquois people. She was formed in her Christian faith by the Jesuit priests there and by an older Iroquois woman, which shows us the importance of having Christian friends to help strengthen us in our struggles and to help form us in our Christian faith. At 23, she made a promise of virginity, which was extraordinary because that was an unheard of kind of commitment among her people. And in that culture, if you weren't married, you were giving up your future. So for her to make that kind of commitment was an extraordinary thing. She went to visit the town and she saw sisters, religious women, and wanted to start a religious community for Indians with two other women. But the Jesuits, for some reason, discouraged her from doing that. She had the practice of spending an hour a day in prayer in the woods by herself in a contemplative context of being silent with God. She practiced penance, serious penances for the conversion of her family and her people. And she died when she was just 24 years old during Holy Week. And those who witnessed her death said that at the time of her death, a smile came to her face, and all the marks on her face that were caused by smallpox went away. She was beatified by Pope John Paul II in 1980 and was canonized by Pope Benedict just last October. So how many of us here are over 24 years old? I think most of us would raise our hands. How many of us are as close to holiness as she was? You know, we live a lot longer and we are a lot less holy. So God was able to accomplish a great deal in her life, and set her before us as a model of faith. That's why the church canonizes saints, to set them before us as examples of Christian living. Her life shows us the importance of having good mothers. She was born of a Christian mother who was very faithful. So those of you who are mothers, understand the nobility and importance of your vocation in the life of your family. She was encouraged by helpful priests. My dear brother priests, it's important for us to be helpful in helping people achieve holiness. And she was encouraged by her Christian friends. We all need to surround ourselves by people who believe, if we want to believe in these difficult times. And all of her life shows us that holiness accompanies the cross. I mean, she was a woman who, from the time she was 4 years old, was carrying a very heavy cross. And in the carrying of that cross, she came to great holiness in her life. So it's a joy for us to say, Saint Kateri, pray for us. And we do that today, and we ask the Lord in a very special way to bless the Native American people of our country and Canada, especially the members of our church, and we ask the Lord to help us imitate Saint Kateri, who is an example of love for us. Now, having said that, we need to reflect on today's scripture readings from the 15th Sunday of Ordinary Time. Our first reading is from the Old Testament, from the book of Deuteronomy. And in this reading, God is trying to teach us that his laws, the law of God, his commandments, are not arbitrary tests to see if we're going to be obedient. But rather than that, the law of God is supposed to be for us a roadmap to happiness. In other words, God doesn't give us a law in order to test us. God doesn't say to us, you follow these rules or you're going to be punished. God, when he gives us his law, is telling us, if you want to be happy, if you want to be fulfilled as a human being, this is the pattern of happiness and wholeness. And holiness has something to do with wholeness, you know, being complete and being fulfilled. And the laws of God are a map, or perhaps a shortcut, towards what it means to be a happy and whole human being. And God writes this in our hearts so that following his law is really something that we can naturally understand as being good for us. Listen to what God says. For this command I enjoin on you today is not too mysterious and remote for you. It's not difficult for you to understand, he says. It is not up in the sky that you should say, who will go up in the sky to get it for us and tell us of it, that we may carry it out? So the law of God isn't something difficult for us to understand. God goes on to say, nor is it across the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea to get it for us and tell us of it, that we may carry it out? It's not distant from what it means to be a human being. Then God goes on to say, no, it is something very near to you, already in your mouths and in your hearts. You have only to carry it out. So, my dear brothers and sisters, we ought to give it a try. You know, we ought to try to be faithful to the plan that God has for human beings, which is contained in his law, a law of happiness and a law of wholeness. Now, the reason the first reading is given to us today is so that we might better understand today's gospel. So let's go to today's gospel. There was a scholar of the law, someone who knew the scriptures of the Old Testament, and it says here that he stood up to test Jesus, to see what Jesus knew or what Jesus would say. And so he said to Jesus, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It's a very important question, isn't it? probably the most important question that any of us could ever ask of God or of ourselves. And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law?" So he's telling us that the law that God gave the Jewish people has the lesson for us on how to inherit eternal life. And the scholar said in reply, and he quotes two parts of the scriptures, the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Leviticus. This is what he said in response to Jesus. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind." That's from Deuteronomy. "And your neighbor as yourself," which is from the book of Leviticus. You know, we know in another place in Scripture, Jesus said that this summarizes the whole law of the Old Testament. And Jesus said in response to this young man, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." You know, following the law of God isn't just about living in eternity, it's also about living here. I mean, if you really want to live a good life, Jesus is saying, follow the law of God. But the scripture is going to say, because the man wanted to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And then Jesus tells that wonderful story of the Good Samaritan. Now, if we want to understand the impact of this story that Jesus told on his listeners in those days, we should try to imagine the person that we would find most uncomfortable to be with. I don't know who that might be with you. You know, for the Christians in the Middle East, it might be the Muslims. I mean, Jesus is making the hero of this story someone that the Jewish people would have found to be offensive to be with, the Samaritans, who were mixed-blood Jews who married pagans at the time of the Babylonian captivity, and they weren't faithful to the law of God at all. And the hero of this story is precisely one of those people, a Samaritan. So try to imagine that as we listen to this story. Jesus says, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest, one of us, happened to be going down the road. But when he saw him, he passed on by the opposite side." You know, somebody who was supposed to be an image of following the law of Moses passed this poor man dying on the side of the road. He did it perhaps because he was afraid that the robbers were still there and might do it to him as well. Some scripture scholars say that the priest was afraid to touch the person because if the priest would touch a man who had died, he would be made ritually impure and not be able to fulfill his tasks in the temple. Regardless, he passed him by. The story goes on to say, "Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side." There's one of those Levites. The deacons of the church would have that same relationship in our Christian community. So those of us who you expect to embody Christian behavior in our lives are precisely the two that pass by this man in his need, the priest and the Levite or the deacon. But here comes the most important part of the story. But a Samaritan traveler, these enemies of the Jews, who came upon him, was moved with compassion at the sight. And what did he do? He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, you know, to heal them and to purify them, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. And even that's not enough. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, "Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back." And then Jesus asks the question, which of these 3, the priest, the Levite, or the enemy, the Samaritan, was neighbor to the robber's victim? And his scribe couldn't even say it was a Samaritan. He couldn't use the name because he disliked him so much. So he said in response, "It's the one who treated him with mercy." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." And that's the command of today's gospel. You know that the path to human happiness and human fulfillment is loving the Lord our God with all our mind, with all our heart, with all our being, and with all our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's what brings us true happiness. And we are to go and do likewise. It shouldn't be just a theory for us, but something that leads to a change in our behavior and our practice, in our relationship with other people. St. Augustine, one of the great fathers of the church, one of the first bishops of the church in the 4th century, interpreted this gospel passage in a way that's beautiful and unusual. He said that when we hear this gospel passage read, we should imagine ourselves as the person on the side of the road beat up by the devil. I mean, the man who was the victim of that assault is Adam and Eve and the rest of us. And the one who is the Good Samaritan isn't one of us, but Jesus Christ, who embraced our human nature and comes as our healer and our Savior. And we should stand in gratitude in the presence of God, thanking him for the gift of healing in our lives. And to learn from Jesus' extraordinary act of self-giving, you know, dying for us on the cross, how to be Christians in the world. That just as he gave himself in self-sacrifice for the church, we should give ourselves in self-sacrifice for God and for one another. That we are to go and do likewise, to live and to love as Jesus lives and how he loves. We see an example of that in Blessed Kateri. And my dear sisters and brothers in the Indian community, the greatest honor we can do our saint is to imitate her Christian life. St. Francis of Assisi, when he heard some of his brothers talking about the saints and how wonderful they were, said in response to them, "Well, it's easy to talk about the saints. What we have to do is to live like them." And it's important for us who are Native Americans to not just talk about St. Kateri, but to honor her by living like her in our relationship with God and our relationship with others in the church and in the world around us. We ask her to intercede for her fellow countrymen, the people of our country and of Canada, and we ask the Lord to help us be the saints of our time.